Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
It's 7 o'clock. You're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You know what that means. It's time for Here Now with Rachel C. I am your host, Rachel C. Joining me in the studio tonight, Brett Bryant and Tiff Klein. Rose and Chubby are celebrating the release of their new album, Gold New Day. We're going to kick things off tonight with the new single from our former guest and friends, Revolution. This is Little Red Dolls.
In a room with silver light racing on the walls, lightning on the window, little red doors. Thoughts that have done me bad. The clock strikes five.
You're listening to Here Now on Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. We go live every Thursday from 7 to 8, rebroadcast Sunday at 9 a.m. Eastern Times. This is a show that celebrates live performance, culture, and activism in the arts. And on that note, I want to tell you about things to go out and see and do, because we want you to go out and see and do the thing. Something that's happening tonight in the area. sort of, which technically isn't a show, but I guess in a way it is. If you are in the area near Radio Free Brooklyn, tonight at 9 p.m. over around the corner at Pine Box Rock Shop at 12 Grattan Street in Brooklyn, New York, Queer State of Mind is celebrating its third anniversary with a cocktail party. So if you're in the area, go walk around the corner and say hello to the girls of Queer State of Mind. They're celebrating 3 years on the air at Radio Free Brooklyn. That is a show that has looked at, examined, talked about, brought to light, celebrated queer culture from the perspective of people of color. They really have put together a wonderful, amazing program over the last 3 years, brought a lot of insight, perspective, a lot of noise, a lot of celebration, a lot of everything to Radio Free Brooklyn. So go over to Pine Rock Rock Shop, and they're of course going to celebrate in the way they know how. They're going to have basically a cocktail party. Their show is kind of like brunch on the air. I used to go. I had a Shadower show once after them. They walked in. They just like, would you like a mimosa? And I was just like, I love you guys. And it was the start of something very, very beautiful. right there. Also, if you are around this Saturday, Cloud Nothings are playing over at the Warsaw. Anthropica, they're back. They're going to be playing at the Well this weekend also. One other activity event I'm going to tell you all about. Please feel free to join Radio Free Brooklyn at our holiday party on Thursday, December 13th. This from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Braven Brewing Company. It's been a long day, you guys. This is, you know, see, this is great about having Brer here. He's just going to give me sound effects the whole time. Please, let's take that, everyone back to one. Okay, come to our Radio Free Brooklyn holiday party on Thursdays, December 13th, 7 to 10 p.m. at Braven Brewery Company in Bushwick. You can RSVP at radiofreebrooklyn.org/holiday2018 to get two free beer tickets at the party, plus access to the exclusive VIP area. Basically, this is open to the public. It's Radio Free Brooklyn's holiday party, but if you RSVP there now, you're going to get 2 free beer tickets and access to the VIP area, which is very cool. And we'd like to thank Braven Brewing Company for supporting Radio Free Brooklyn during the holiday season. Visit them. They have not just beer. They have a full bar. They have a kitchen. They have a whole menu, lots of really cool stuff. They're at 52 Harrison Place. Check out bravenbrewing.com. So go check it out and buy your tickets, or show up and buy a ticket at the door and come party with us for the holidays. It's Radio Free Brooklyn party. We're kind of known for throwing down. It'll be on a Thursday. You know, you listen to Here and Now with Rachel C. That'll be your pregame. Get ready. Put your face on. Put on your ugly Christmas sweater, the thing that like lights up and stuff, or something like what my brother bought me last year. And I might have to bust that out for the party. My brother got me a sweatshirt that lights up, a holiday sweatshirt. He did. And then come join us for the party. Okay, my guests tonight have been around for a very long time and making music for a long time. okay, not that long. Not that, okay. I've known them for many years. For very, very long. I know Brer as to be someone who could like kind of make a song about anything out of nowhere. Like almost, I mean, this is a compliment. If I could say anything about Brer Bryant as a musician, you could like make an amazing song about like anything lyrically. Like it's just like, wow, what is that? This amazing song I'm listening to. He's writing it about, toast and beans, or about
we like beans. Toast and beans. I think that's the next hit single for Rose and Chubby, because we actually like toast and beans.
Toast and beans.
A lot of food.
There you go.
Lots of food.
Lots of foodstuffs. And you recently, but this what's we're here to talk about tonight is the album Rose and Chubby, Gold New Day, which you did put together. Oh. This was a.
That is actually not the album.
That's
title.
Not the album.
It's just
okay.
A self-titled album, Rose and Chubby.
Okay,
the Rose and Chubby, Rose and Chubby.
Okay, it's the Rose. Okay, somehow Gold New Day made it to
Gold Star Day.
Gold Star Day. Sorry,
right.
Made it somehow onto the album info.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay, so it's just Rose and Chubby. All right. Oh, mislabeled by the record company.
Oh, man. We have to stop.
We have to have words with the record company.
We have words with the record company then. Anyway, so we stand corrected. You heard it here first. It's Rose and Chubby's, the Rose and Chubby project. So you collaborated with your wife, Tiff, on this project musically. And Tiff, you've been a part of the whole scene that Brer kind of came up on musically, where I know you from the Lower East Side performance art scene and everything. Known you guys for a long time. But this is the first time you guys kind of sat down and recorded an album together.
This is my first time playing ever.
Really?
I played the flute in high school in 1992. I hung it up and picked it up.
Really?
About 3 months ago.
Wow.
Yes. Inspired, I guess.
Wow. Well, like, just you just decided to, then, like,
well,
what was that like picking it up again after,
it was hard. It was amazing that how much your brain retains the music, though. So, keep your kids in school and music. I think that's the lesson.
Was it, because as someone who's like played guitar since high school, but occasionally like will go stretches or has had stretches where I don't play it. Was it hard getting your hands back? Was it like harder physically than mentally?
How much you remember mentally, like your brain kind of just lights up. And I had to look, kind of some of the technical things you have to look up. But yeah, it's amazing how much.
Like,
were
your fingers remembering where to go
do.
And
they
how
do,
and when?
Of.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
amazing,
really impressive. Because
right?
I found that can be sort of the challenging thing, like kind of getting them to sort of remember where to go. Like, yes, no, we move here, and this is how, and it's kind of getting the fingers, the hands, or the body to keep up with the mind, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you just like after all decided to pick up that instrument. Wow, I'm glad you did. So you guys like after all this time sort of collaborate musically together, and you put together this album. But there's a little bit of a story. There's a thematic element to it. But there's a story about it's sort of based on a specific diner, or it's based on a place. If you wanted to, so what's the thematic? Of course, there's a theme because you can make a song out of about anything. So what's the theme? You guys? I mean, also, maybe I should start with this question: did you decide, hey, let's make an album together, or was it like you had the idea, you knew the story of this place, and just said we should make an album together about this place? Like,
yes, it was because as you said, I'm fond of making songs about things, and we both are actually, mm-hmm. even though we've never collaborated in this manner, we decided to just actually finalize songs based about things that we just joke about between ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's based upon just inside jokes, people, characters from town, movies and TV, video games. And things that we just joke about, and we just decided to actually just record songs about it. And so all the songs are called from our shared experience over years of just hanging out and looking at weird, funny things. And
Right.
And so Rose and Chubby's was a luncheonette in Hopewell, New Jersey. I think it's still there. They're recently trying to revive it. Rose and Chubby have passed away, but it's been there for years. And you would go in, and it only was opened, I think, maybe 2 hours a day, and if you were lucky, you could get in there. And Rose and Chubby themselves would serve you breakfast, and it felt like your grandmother was making you breakfast and charging you $2. And
wow,
yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Eggs and toast,
and potato and toast, and ham and toast.
Toast was definitely involved. No matter
toast
what you got,
was involved.
You couldn't avoid the toast.
Yes. Okay, so you decided to like make this album about like these
so
particular
a lot of the songs
stories.
A lot of the songs were inspired from Hopewell, New Jersey. That was our first place we lived in together.
Right.
Most of them are things we just picked up and sang.
But I imagine like you guys that isn't like the only place where you've seen like a lot of interesting characters.
No.
Absolutely not.
No. A lot of friends and neighbors and their pets and.
Friends, neighbors, and pets definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely a big theme for the album.
Friends, neighbors, and pets. Animals is just as interesting as that. So you said to just and the image for the album, like I asked of you guys, I was like, did you guys like what were you? It looks very wintry. Did you record? When was this? But you told me this was just sort of stock. This was just. Like a Jersey-esque.
That is a stock photo of a Jersey barn because I did a search for that. But that evokes the town that we lived in. It definitely looks like that could have come from the town, although it doesn't. But mm-hmm. there's houses that look like that, and there's barns, and it snows there, and it looks like that.
Yes. When did you guys record this? Like, when did this sort of happen?
Starting in July or June?
Starting in June.
Starting in June.
Kind of went through maybe August?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you picked up the flute for the first time in, like, I don't know, 20-something years, this summer, and churned out an album.
Exactly. So the order of the album is the order in which the songs were created. So the flute doesn't come in until maybe midway. So it took me a little bit to warm up to the idea of playing the flute. So that's when it popped in.
Okay, but you were involved with album
in the beginning.
Okay, so what were you doing before the flute? Like,
more helping with the, you know, not helping or collaborating with the writing.
The concepts all come from shared concepts. So that there's no they're all things that we came up with together to become songs, and then little by little, she decided to become involved with the performance. And I would love to develop this and have more like singing harmonies, more flute,
more tequila.
Like, more tequila.
I think there's a song right there. More tequila. There's
that was the liquid courage of the album, for sure.
The title Definitely. Track off the next album.
Yeah,
I think is you found it right there.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, do you want to play us a little something off the album? What are we going to hear?
Sure. All right. So our first song is going to be called "Have You Failed." And the inspiration for this comes from a documentary series called The Up Series from England, which followed the lives of several children starting at age 7 and filmed them over the course of their lives.
I think I saw that.
Very early reality show.
Very early reality show, exactly. And one of them was a very cute, effervescent kid. And starting in his teens and maybe in his 20s, like, clearly suffered from some sort of mental illness or became like a little bit off somehow. And so the interviewer, when he's in his 20s, I believe, and he's homeless, and the interviewer asks him, have you failed? Or maybe it's even like later in his life. Yeah, but I think like later. Yeah, like 30s.
They're up to about 56 now, I think.
Right. 30s or 40s, the interviewer asks him, have you failed? And I saw an interview with Roger Ebert and the filmmaker, who said that when that screened, the audience gasped. Like, how could you, you know, ask someone, have you failed? Like, what a existential, bottomless.
To someone who's struggling, so obvious.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But to anyone, like, how could you ask that of anyone, have you failed?
Right.
So it became a private joke of ours just to, like, ask each other, have you failed, in an English accent.
Have you failed today?
Yeah, exactly. Like, ouch. If you mess something up or didn't tie your shoes right or something like that. So anyway, so here is our treatment of the have you failed question. And because we're American, we're not English, we ask if you failed old Uncle Sam at some point in the song. But that's our that's our own license that we take. Anyway, here it goes. Have you failed? Have you failed? Have you failed to file your tax return? Have you failed to signal your left turn? Have you failed to make the cake not burn? Have you failed to locate your lost glove? Have you failed to find your own true love? Have you failed to be peace with God above? Have you failed? Have you failed to sleep at night? Have you failed to see the light? Have you failed to raise the funds for bail? Have you failed? Have you failed? Have you failed? Have you failed? Have you failed to open wide, to keep your laces tied? Have you failed? Have not fall off the ride? Have you failed? Have you failed? Have you failed to win the race? Have you failed? Or to save your pretty face? Have you failed? Have you failed to crack the case? Have you failed?
Have you failed your big exam? Have you failed old Uncle Sam? Have you failed to catch your great white whale? Have you failed? Have you failed to clear the bar? Have you failed to become a megastar? Have you failed? Have you failed to park the car? Have you failed? Have you failed? Have you failed to end the war? Have you failed to achieve the perfect score? Have you failed? Have you failed to lock the door? Have you failed? Have you failed to sleep at night? Have you failed to see the light? Have you failed to kiss the funds for bail? Have you failed your big exam? Have you failed old Uncle Sam? Have you failed to catch your great white whale? Have you failed? Have you failed? Have you failed? Have you failed?
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Have you failed today? Have you failed today?
And maybe you have and maybe you haven't, but life goes on. Or hopefully that's... hopefully it does. And if not, you can always just try kill yourself. I don't know. But please don't.
So you guys find a lot of inspiration around you, I guess. That's kind of like...
Yes,
sort of
yeah.
Did you say that about all the music? Like,
Well, the another like inspiration for the album was that we love... There's certain kind of things that we love together and we share that we enjoy. Like the music of Ween. Uh-huh. They
the
might
styles
be...
Styles of music.
Ween and They Might Be Giants and Belle and Sebastian. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be like a certain style of music where there might be like a couple songwriters that just will make a song about anything, especially like those particular
right.
projects. And like we felt like we could maybe kind of take a stab at doing that too. And it doesn't sound like initially we thought maybe the album would kind of sound like Belle and Sebastian, and it totally doesn't because we're not Scottish. But there's a lot of like bluegrass and country.
Yeah,
it's bluegrass-esque and it's a little country-esque, but it's got this like twist to it that's a little I don't want to say no, what's the word of it's from this totally different perspective because it's like the environment's mm-hmm. influencing you. So it's
right.
It's a little more gritty.
We worry that maybe it's a little too inside joke for us, but enjoy it, but you know,
it's got like this streak of sarcasm, right. A little bit, a streak of humor in it that's like you don't usually get with your typical country or like bluegrass though.
And there's a lot of other music that we enjoy is like the lyrics are just completely inscrutable. So like if you think about your favorite REM song or your favorite Pixie song or something like that, like you really don't know like what the hell they're talking about. So we felt comfortable on making songs that were kind of like that.
Yeah.
Even if you knew what it was or you didn't know what it was, it would like work as a song whether or not like the lyrics made sense. Like
right. Yes, I think there are some REM songs that kind of read like stream of consciousness. Mm-hmm. They're not. But you'll still listen to it. Sure. Yeah, this math mechanism, sure. How it works.
Like driver 8, like what is that? You know, like we can do that.
Yeah, they can do that. I can do can this, do man.
With a fraction of the success and fame and, sure. You know, meet MTV exposure, but, you know, and we can't influence anyone in the 90s the way that R.E.M. did.
We did record this in the living room.
We did it in the living room, yeah.
There you go. There you have it. You're listening to Here Now with Rachel C. on Radio Free Brooklyn. If you missed any of tonight's broadcast, you just want to catch the whole thing all over again, tune in on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for the rebroadcast. We'll be up next. This episode will be up next week on Podomatic.com for your downloading pleasure. I want to remind you, we are a 501c3. Get your write-offs on, people, before the end of the year. Get that in. Squeeze it in. Supports small batch, artisanal, farm-to-table, independent radio. Please and thank you. Thank you for being with us here this evening. So I think we should take a little break here to listen to some stuff off the album and sure. some other stuff, and we will come back. And I have some I want to talk a little bit about what it was like for you guys to collaborate together on this project. So we're going to kick things off, have a little music break with this is Going Next Door to Kathy's.
I'm going next door to Lou's. Kathy's got the wacky tobacco, and Lou's got the blues. I'm going next door to Kathy's. I'm going next door to Lou's. Kathy's got the wacky tobacco, and Lou's got the blues.
Kathy's got the wacky tobacco, and there's got the blues. I go next next door to Kathy's. A door next door to Lou's. Kathy's got the wacky tobacco, and Lou's got the booze.
We're back. So I wanted to ask you guys what so one sort of recurring theme, if you will, what I've noticed having done the show almost 3 years now, I've had a number of guests and they've been musical guests, bands and stuff, where members of have been in relationships, married or not. And it seems like, is it sort of kind of a natural part of the natural flow of things of two people, creative people are in a relationship? Is it sort of inevitable you're going to wind up collaborating, like making music together? Is it sort of natural? Do you think this is kind of an inevitable thing bound to happen? Well, eventually you're going to kind of collaborate, make an album together, or like, I mean,
very,
that,
this was very,
I don't mean that in like a boring way, but like in a positive way.
Yeah. Really, even I'm not,
is this something you
I'm a little more behind the scenes, a little more, you know, inspiring.
I mean that in a good way, like it's inevitable. It's kind of like,
it's definitely part of our,
something natural
part of our lives.
Process.
I think of when we were in Spain and we'd just walk around and sing about Spanish dogs. I mean, that's not something that, you know, you're really recording on an album, but it's like clearly the music is part of our, you know, how we interact. Right?
To me, definitely. To me, it felt, it does feel natural and it does feel inevitable, although she will frequently say that it's outside of her usual experience and comfort zone. But it's generally like when we're walking around and just like looking at things, it's like what we'll do is just make jokes about things and make up songs about things. And so to me, it does feel natural and inevitable that we would actually just collaborate on an album. And what we made, I'm actually like really, really very proud of. And I feel that it's like one of the most like focused, you know, thematic like things that I've ever made, just at least on my own.
Yeah.
You know? In a way, you've kind of been writing music together for a very, very long time.
Exactly.
Like, definitely.
Even though you haven't,
my inspiration may be in Howl songs or in them songs, but it's, you know, I'm a voice.
Yeah.
Voice in the
absolutely.
Corner.
It's not in the traditional sense of you sit down and write a song in a studio, but you've actually been writing music together for a long time, whether.
Yeah.
That
it's kind of like, let's just come out of the closet and just say, like,
here we are. We do this together.
You're actually a collaborator. You're actually like, a lot of this is coming from you. So dig out the flute, you know,
dust it off.
Yeah. Dust it off. Like, sing on the album and just, you know, why are you hiding? Just
come out of the closet.
Exactly.
Rose, Chubby, come out of the damn closet. Right? So Rose and Chubby have come out of the closet for this record.
Yes.
Rose and Chubby.
And we're freaks.
Total freaks. And on that note, so you have another little something to play for us, Rose and Chubby.
Sure. I'm going to play this one solo.
Okay.
Plastic
in the Window. All right.
So
not,
this song would be inspired by Hopewell.
The song is inspired by Hopewell.
In New Jersey.
In which case, we lived in a very small apartment in the center of town, which never increased the rent for 8 years. So we learned to accept certain things, like adding a Snapple bottle full of water to the toilet when you flushed it, so it would flush all the way.
I see.
and putting the plastic in the window when it rained, so it wouldn't come in the building. So we learned to accept these, like, you know,
Ingalls Wilder.
Yeah, a little Ingalls Wilder, but sure. You know, it was endearing to us to preserve our little quiet spot in the center of town in this, you know, 1800 home. So we accepted
it with the low staple rent, of course.
The low staple rent.
Yeah. It was very dear to us, and that's what this song is about. There's a trash train in the valley, winding past the Blaundberg Band. Somewhere Adam sells a sandwich, two cicadas in the sand. There's a Stolly and a Wally, and the bikes that we don't ride. There's a Daisy and a Piper, and our feline friends outside. Put the plastic in the window, and the Snapple on the John.
There's a marble brown invasion, and the jerks are on the lawn. There's a blind man at the diner, and a peasant at the grill. Oh, they never fix the gutters, reckon that they never will. Don't you dare in Chicken Little, it's the worst of all time. But on the day you pass your swim test, you can have a twist of lime. Put the plastic in the window and the Snapple on the Jones. There's a marble brown invasion, and the jerks are on the lawn. Boston, gonna take one to New York, gonna fly down to New Orleans, find a way to make it work. Got a grumpy monkey coffee, got a cracker on the jack. Gonna move my stuff to Union, and I'll never take it back.
About us collaborating together. I think when this was maybe like the third or fourth song on the album, and at this point it was maybe June or July, and I felt like he was eulogizing our relationship too much. He was like trying to summarize all these like great moments and fond moments we had. So maybe that's what made me pick up the flute. I was like, we have to turn this to present tense.
I'm still here. Wait. Thank you so having. Present, be present.
Don't archive everything.
Just sure. It's like, yeah.
Write about something from last week. From like everything from 10 years ago or whatever.
Yeah. So yeah, it seems like it's kind of a natural. It's par for the course, and I guess in certain relationships, like, you know, at some point you will kind of make the thing together and put it down, the pen to paper. Or
I think so. Yeah.
Or music will be recorded, or
yeah,
maybe that in a good way. We can play some more stuff. Where would you like to see this go? I mean, you guys are always doing stuff. I'm just curious, are you guys going to be performing any of this live? It's a big Rose and Chubby tour.
I almost played in the subway on the way here.
I was ready to go.
Shit.
Oh, it's on. What have you unleashed?
I'm very interested in seeing it develop and continue. I would like to.
I think at one point you said this was a one and done, and I was like, no, don't do that. Oh, that's not right.
I didn't mean it to be a one and done, but like for many years now, I put out albums just on my own, but I didn't wait until the album was done to release it. So I figured like. You know, we could still make stuff, but to store it up and then like unleash a whole album. Mm-hmm. I figured maybe we'd do like one-off things, whatever. But I appreciated the project, and it was intense working to kind of like make this big thing like done by some kind of abstract timeline.
And it was in the summer, which was very hot, and we live in an apartment without air conditioning.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So some of the recording involved closing the windows and just sweating your ass
exactly.
off.
Exactly, yeah, yeah.
And somehow the equipment held
and
up.
Hoping they don't mow the grass outside or all these other outside noises that can trickle in.
And plus the obsessive nature of just working on something like this, you like, you stop eating, you know, you think about it night and day, you know, you're just like, you know, should I turn up the bass on that? Or should I,
you start getting into like these little, the minutia of,
exactly. It becomes obsessive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I did want to, before we get a little further in the hour, I wanted to dig into the archive a little bit.
Okay.
Sure.
Of Brer Ryan, if I may, like I said, you know, I kind of,
I was responsible for the Brer. I mean, come on.
Oh, really? I didn't know this.
I'm not
responsible.
I was the sounding board for the Brer.
Yeah, okay. She said
let's tell this story.
He said, what about Brer? I said, okay. Like the rabbit? Sure.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
I encourage the naming.
Oh, really? I did not know that. I did not. Fun fact.
Fun fact.
You heard it first on Here and Now, Rachel C. Or you probably, maybe you didn't hear it first. You've heard it again. Rachel C. I want to dig in the archives a little bit because, like I said, there's like so much music out there, and it's all on Bandcamp, by the way.
It is.
Which, if you didn't know, pays artists a very, more than fair, probably the fairest share, fairest cut. I always, talking to musicians, they always say Bandcamp gives them like the largest cut of the music, the money that you pay as a consumer. So I always encourage people to go to Bandcamp, and you can get like the discography, like all of it. And it's large. It's like overloading your computer large with wonderful files of music. So I can dig into the archives, and you can truly get an example of how like Rare can write a song out of like, and a really good song out of like, about anything. So I went, there's one, this one has always, I thought I'd play something. This one has always spoken to me on a personal level. I just relate to it so much. You can guess which one it is. We're laughing about it. Yeah, it's called, he's already playing it. I relate to it. We'll take over. This is Great Big Head. Okay, I had to break that one out. We were laughing. We were having our own inside jokes introducing that song.
Planning the next album.
Yeah, planning the next album. We're already talking about the big re-release, the
Rose
20th
and Chubby Red.
Rose and Chubby Red. Why not? It could happen. Anything could happen. Guys, I wanted to remind you, invite you to sign up for Radio Free Brooklyn's newsletter to keep up to date with new programming, upcoming RFB events, interviews, ticket giveaways, special offers on RFB swag, and more. Sign up for the newsletter at radiofreebrooklyn.org/newsletter. You know what? You want to know what it's called?
What's it called?
Radio Free Brooklyn.
Woo! Ooh. I'm there.
Yes, Vera's also I'm King on board. Of also, I'd like to invite you to listen to Radio Free Brooklyn on the go. There are apps, you guys, and they actually sound really good. RadioFreeBrooklyn.org/iPhone, RadioFreeBrooklyn.org/Android. That's for the Android app. Listen on your run, in your car, etc. They actually sound really good. The sound quality is quite good on the iPhone app. I listen to it myself. And as I mentioned before, we're a 501c3. End of the year, guys. Get your write-offs on. Do it. I'm here with Brer, Brian, and Tiff Klein. Rose and Chubby, and possibly Red, in the future. In the future, so yeah, this album it's unique. It's very you guys, but it's kind of it's but fun. Also it's like you guys. Yeah. It's kind of it's fun, but the sound it's I kind of hear that focus you were talking about though.
Yeah,
in it,
absolutely.
With it,
it was definitely. Tiff was definitely an editor,
yes,
for the album, and I frequently record things just on my own, and I'll post it on Facebook, and maybe like one or two will listen to it, and it became, you know, just almost kind of like a random like fart into the void or something like that, because it was completely my own, and like, you know, who's it for? No one knows, and but with having a collaborator to kind of like hone it in or whatever. I think just sharpened the writing immeasurably.
I think there's a couple songs which we talk about the theme of, and then when he ran the first draft past me, I was like, I don't know if this fits what I had in mind, which was a difficult conversation. I sent it back to the editing room, and I think that, you know, that was the Gold Star Day. I think that came from a second rendition, and I think it more fit the mood that, the vibe we were going for.
Yeah.
Okay. On that note, did you want to play another one?
Yeah.
Let's do Paisley.
Paisley.
And this is about dogs.
Okay, we have the dogs now. We mm-hmm. sung about neighbors.
Yep. There was still a neighbor with a dog.
So. We had a neighbor with a heavy Eastern European accent of some sort and a very cute beagle that would jump. And he would always go, Paisley, don't jump. Paisley, don't jump. And so the song is about, takes its chorus from that. And then... We couldn't really write a whole song about that.
That guy, so we had
so
to,
the rest of the song,
dogs in history, dogs
yeah, this,
time.
The rest of the song is about dogs and everything that they do, from being our faithful companions to being cannon fodder to being shot into space. Or to, you know, or all dogs go to heaven.
They do it all.
Yeah, or rescuing skiers and, you know, making a drink of a martini from the thing around their neck, like the St. Bernard, if you're familiar with cartoons, or that's all in there. Yeah. So, We really left no stone unturned for dog references.
We don't have a dog, but we love dogs.
Yeah, we
must love dogs.
Absolutely. Okay. Anyway, let's wrap it.
Paisley, don't jump. feet on the ground. Please be still and settle down. Please sit on back. Don't chew my leg. Please be still and settle down.
Listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. You're listening to Here Now with Rachel C. Do stay tuned for Frequency Theory with Tom Tenney from 8 to 10. We have a couple more minutes left of the show. We can listen to a little bit more from the album. What do we have? Did we hear Violent Elbows?
No, we did not.
And it's interesting, the backstory of that one. That's another song that's like actually like inside kind of jokes to your life, but like, and references, it's like inside the world, inside Rosenthal.
But common themes people like. Game of Thrones.
Violent Elbows is inspired by mixed martial arts, maybe a little Ronda Rousey, but also
girl power.
girl power. And Game of Thrones and Fallout, the video game, which takes place in a post-nuclear apocalyptic wasteland. So
All the good things.
So if you imagine Arya Stark was killing people with her bare hands and also living in a desert wasteland with mutants. And that is what Violent Elbows is. It's a mixture of all those things distilled into 3 minutes.
And I'm really good at video games.
And
I kind of look like Arya Stark.
And Tiff looks like Lifa, and she can have violent elbows.
And deadly knees.
And deadly knees.
When she needs to. Or she feels like it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Damn it.
Absolutely. So distill all that into 3 minutes of pure country perfection and violent elbows.
So we will end on, we will go out on that song tonight. But before we do that, thanks you guys for being a part of the show tonight. Anything you'd like to like include?
No, that's great.
Or,
yeah.
Like we're good for now.
We're good.
Yeah. This is like a brand new for us. So we pleased as punch just to be here and thanks for having us.
So the album is available on Bandcamp.
Yep.
You can download it, Rose and Chubby, along with Brer's entire discography, which if you buy the whole thing, you get a discount. Like, I've noticed that, and I think that's very awesome.
Sure.
I will throw that out there. Yeah. stay tuned for Frequency Theory, 8 to 10. Tune in Sunday for the rebroadcast. Thanks, you guys, for being here. Keep me posted on what you guys are up to. You probably already have this in your minds. Theme for the next album.
Yeah, This Cheese Is Us.
This Cheese Is Us.
You already have the title. Theme. You already got the like, you have an outline. This Cheese Is Us.
Yes.
All right.
Stay tuned for that one.
Stay tuned for that one. This is Violent Elbows.
She stalks through the wasteland with a pit boy and a gun, dealing pain and death to everyone, stealing necks and death claws and cooking up the crime, chasing raiders out of Megaton. But sometimes things get heated when the ammo gets depleted. There's just so many ways to kill a man. She don't have to worry, cause she ain't in no hurry. She just takes her foes out with her hands, cause she's got violent elbows when she gets in a spot, and everyone who crosses her gets got violent elbows and deadly knees. She's gonna take a big piece out of me. She came out of the vault on a cold and rainy day, never knowing who or where to turn to. Slavers with chains for to carry you away, and mutants who just lay in wait to burn you. But late at night in secret, she's working on her moves, leveling up her skills for the melee. Parrying above and lunging down below, gonna cut my own head off someday. Cause she's got violent elbows when she gets in a spot, and everyone who crosses her gets got violent elbows and deadly knees. She's gonna take a big piece out of me. She keeps a kill list close to her heart of everyone who's wronged her in the past. There's some she'll want to torture and finish off real slow, and some she'll want to finish off real fast. And I know the clock is running to my own time coming, when I'll be put in my proper place. She'll settle all her scores, but she's gonna have one more, and we'll be reunited face to face. Cause she's got violence.